It's great to have you here today, and I invite you to open your Bible with me and turn to the final book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Put one finger at chapter 1. Then on your other hand, flip backwards to the Old Testament book of Exodus and stick another finger at chapter 3. That's Exodus chapter 3. So if you have your place at Revelation 1, then you will also have a place at Exodus 3. I'll read from both in a minute. As you know, if you listen to God Is regularly, we're making our way through all 20 verses of Revelation chapter 1 because we want to see Jesus. And we find ourselves now down in the middle of the text and the vision that the Apostle John has, given, according to verse 1 of the chapter, from God to Jesus and to his bondservant John, communicated by way of the angel. We have discussed verses 1 through 11, and now we are here at verse 12. As we come into verse 12, John updates us on his vision. So look down now at the spot where your first finger rests. This is Revelation 1, verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. We'll get to the meaning of the seven golden lampstands in a minute, but first I want you to see, or at least hear, about what another man did who was given the awesome opportunity to encounter God. This is Moses. And in Exodus chapter 3, the servant of God Moses is at the bush that was burning with fire, but was not consumed by those flames. You have likely at least heard of this true story. In verse 4 of Exodus 3, the text says, "When the Lord saw that he, Moses, turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.'" Now, I believe the angel of the Lord who appeared to Moses amidst the blazing fire is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. And notice that, quote, "Moses turned aside to look." This is the same reaction the Apostle John has all the way over in the Revelation. Moses turned to see, John turned to see. And who did these men turn to hear? They turned to hear Jesus. Naturally, I want us to focus back in Revelation 1 on what John saw when he turned. It's seven golden lampstands. But just before I say more about this, I graciously invite you to take Exodus 3 verse 4 and Revelation 1 verse 12 to heart today. Let's see in these verses a point of application of the Bible to our busy lives in these moments that we have together. We're all very busy, it seems. Even should you feel lonely right now, you have the busyness of the radio or the internet, perhaps your TV is buzzing. The screen, a nonstop panorama of images flooding your mind hour after hour. On your mobile phone, you have access to all sorts of apps. Do you find yourself giving great time and attention to sports? To politics, dramas, films, even something like a good and clean documentary? I had dinner with a good friend the other night, and over dinner, he was telling me about a compelling Netflix series on Ted Bundy. I think he said it's called The Ted Bundy Tapes. This is a man, really a monster, who kidnapped and murdered at least 30 women, I think, during the 1970s. Compulsively watching this, apparently millions of people are doing it at present, certainly makes one busy. The point here being, we have much that captures our attention. And let's be honest, in this regard, Christians are not often any different than people who do not trust in Christ. We'd like to think we're different, but we all too often allow ourselves to be consumed by the same, what should I call it, media as the rest of the culture. And yet, all the while, God is trying to capture our attention. In your life, where is the burning bush and the sound of the trumpet? Can you see it? Do you hear it? And I must ask myself the same question. God's word, the Bible, is a burning bush and a piercing trumpet sound. Are we spellbound reading this? Sadly, both my experience and studies reveal that many believers are far more attentive to Netflix, Fox News, social media like Twitter and Facebook, and YouTube than we are to the very voice of God in the Scriptures. We're resistant to the discipline of regular times each and every day and the richness of God's Word because we've given in to the laziness and slothfulness of the poorness of the culture's entertainment. Will you ponder with me the encounters that Moses and John had with Jesus, and will you be convicted by how unattentive you have been to this same Lord? I think we do well to pause here in the middle of verse 12 of Revelation 1 and to think soberly about this. And along these lines, often the preacher or Bible teacher will leave his or her comments at about this point. You might even wonder, is this where he lays down the guilt trip? I really do not want to do that. So let me take this further by passing along a way for you, something practical for you to do today that will address really paying attention to the voice of the Lord Jesus in your Christian life. Pick a Bible character. Anyone will do. Perhaps you have a favorite. And in the Bible, read about his or her relationship with the living God. And just read about that person. Read. Do not stop to take any notes, unless you want to, or get frustrated when you suddenly do not understand something, or give up because you get distracted. Just keep on reading, and then ask yourself, what have I noticed about fill in the name of your Bible person and their engagement with God? Pay attention to what you notice, what jumps off the pages of the Bible at you. This is a great way to spend your precious and limited time paying attention to the Lord. Why don't you try this and let me know how it goes? Just drop me an email or send me a letter and let me know how God speaks to you through this, His holy word. Warning, this can be addictive, and regular reading of the Bible will definitely make that series that you binge watch or whatever it is that eats your time, far, far less appealing. Nothing beats the Bible. Nothing. I leave that with you for your consideration on what is undoubtedly a day filled with much noise and lots that demands your attention. And now let's return to Revelation 1, verse 12, and see what is the meaning of these seven golden lampstands that John sees. And this will not be hard to do because the text itself, a little further along, tells us the meaning of what John sees. Listen to Revelation 1, verse 20. Here, John is told exactly what the seven lampstands are. I'll read this for you. The seven lampstands are the seven churches. Revelation 1, 20 interprets Revelation 1, 12. And if you know anything biblically about Jesus and his church, which are the people of God, but that's what the church is. It's Christians gathered together. Then you know this makes perfect sense. Jesus sees his disciples as light that emanates to the whole world. Churches are light to the dark world in which we live. Now, notice carefully, the churches are not the source of light. The churches are not the source of light. The source of the lamplight is Jesus himself. But the light of Jesus is illuminated via the Christians in the churches. When Jesus was here on earth, he said he was the light of the world. Listen to his word in John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. But knowing he would leave the world and ascend to heaven, he said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. He is the light who shines through us, his willing lamps. The church becomes like a light that beams forth brightly from a hill. And then if you'll follow me over to the Apostle Paul's letter to the church, so to the Christian people in Philippi, we read these words. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. That was Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. And Paul is saying what Jesus said. We, dear Christians, are Christ's light in the dark corners of the globe. This is a crooked and perverse generation in which we live. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to know that. Just look around you. But we are to be a stark contrast by how we live. We're to be blameless and innocent as children of God, to live above reproach so that, listen, we appear as lights in the world. Again, this is convicting and worthy of application. Christians, within the sound of my voice, how did you live yesterday? How will you live with what is left of today? Our Lord commands us to live as lights, blameless, innocent, above reproach, in the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells you. So, not in your own strength, but in the power of the Spirit. Live every day like this, sisters and brothers. The lampstands are the seven churches, and those seven churches are merely representatives of all, genuine as the Bible defines it, churches. The number seven indicates this because in the Bible, the number seven is the number of completeness. And so seven lampstands represent the complete churches of all time, not just the seven specific churches on the postal route that we talked about yesterday. And you will notice also, just as we come to a close, that the lampstands are golden. Gold was the most precious of all the metals. And the genuine, authentic, biblical church, as the Lord defines it, is precious to God. Really precious. As Acts says, Jesus paid for the church with his life. Listen to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That's Acts 20, verse 28. So, the Apostle John hears the voice, like the sound of a trumpet, and he turns to see seven golden lampstands. That's Revelation 1, verse 12. And next time on God Is, we will get into verse 13 and find what else, really, who else, John sees. Oh, isn't this glorious? This is really the best use of our time, isn't it? To be able to read and study, to discuss and think deeply about, to pray our way through this Bible. There's nothing better. And I'm glad we can do this together. I'm grateful for you, and I look forward to having you join me tomorrow right here as together we continue to learn who God is.